On Being an American by H. L. Mencken, 1922. All the while, I have been forgetting the third of my reasons for remaining so faithful a citizen of the Federation, despite all the lascivious inducements from expatriates to follow them beyond the seas, and all the surly suggestions from patriots that I succumb. It is the reason which grows out of my medieval but unashamed taste for the bizarre and indelicate, my congenital weakness for comedy of the grosser varieties. The United States, to my eye, is incomparably the greatest show on earth. It is a show which avoids diligently all the kinds of clowning which tire me most quickly. For example, royal ceremonials, the tedious hocus-pocus of eau politique, the taking of politics seriously, and lays chief stress upon the kinds which delight me unceasingly. For example, the ribald combats of demagogues, the exquisitely ingenious operations of master rogues, the pursuit of witches and heretics, the desperate struggles of inferior men to claw their way into heaven. We have clowns in constant practice among us who are as far above the clowns of any other great state as a Jack Dempsey is above a paralytic, and not a few dozen or score of them, but whole droves and herds. Human enterprises which, in all other Christian countries, are resigned despairingly to an incurable dullness, things that seem devoid of exhilarating amusement by their very nature, are here lifted to such vast heights of buffoonery that contemplating them strains the midriff almost to breaking. I cite an example. The worship of God. Everywhere else on earth it is carried on in a solemn and dispiriting manner. In England, of course, the bishops are obscene, but the average man seldom gets a fair chance to laugh at them and enjoy them. Now come home. Here we not only have bishops who are enormously more obscene than even the most gifted of the English bishops, we have also a huge force of lesser specialists in ecclesiastical mountebankery, tinhorn Loyolas, Savonarolas, and Xaviers of 100 fantastic rites, each performing untiringly and each full of a grotesque and illimitable whimsicality. Every American town, however small, has one of its own. A holy clerk with so fine a talent for introducing the arts of jazz into the salvation of the damned that his performance takes on all the gaudiness of a four-ring circus, and the bold announcement that he will raid hell on such and such a night is enough to empty all the town blind pigs and bordellos and pack his sanctuary to the doors. And to aid him and inspire him, there are traveling experts to whom he stands in the relation of a wart to the Matterhorn, stupendous masters of theological imbecility, contrivers of doctrines utterly preposterous, heirs to the Joseph Smith, Mother Eddy, and John Alexander Dowie tradition, Brian, Sunday, and their like. These are the eminences of the American Sacred College. I delight in them. Their proceedings make me a happier American. Turn now to politics. Consider, for example, a campaign for the presidency. Would it be possible to imagine anything more uproariously idiotic, a deafening, nerve-wracking battle to the death between Tweedledum and Tweedledee? Harlequin and Scannerell, Gobbo and Dr. Cook, the unspeakable with fearful snorts gradually swallowing the inconceivable. I defy anyone to match it elsewhere on this earth. In other lands, at worst, there are at least intelligible issues, coherent ideas, salient personalities. Somebody says something, and somebody replies. But what did Harding say in 1920, and what did Cox reply? Who was Harding, anyhow, and who was Cox? Here, having perfected democracy, we lift the whole combat to symbolism, to transcendentalism, to metaphysics. Here we load a pair of palpably tin cannon with blank cartridges charged with talcum powder, and so let fly! Here one may howl over the show without any uneasy reminder that it is serious and that someone may be hurt. I hold that this elevation of politics to the plane of undiluted comedy is peculiarly American, that nowhere else on this disreputable ball has the art of the sham battle been developed to such fineness. Here politics is purged of all menace, all sinister quality, all genuine significance, and stuffed with such gorgeous humors, such inordinate farce that one comes to the end of a campaign with one's ribs loose and ready for King Lear, or a hanging, or a course of medical journals. But feeling better for the laugh. Ridi si sapis, said Marshall. Mirth is necessary to wisdom, to comfort, above all, to happiness. Well, here is the land of mirth, as Germany is the land of metaphysics, and France is the land of fornication. Here the buffoonery never stops. What could be more delightful than the endless struggle of the Puritan to make the joy of the minority unlawful and impossible? The effort is itself a greater joy to one standing on the sidelines than any or all of the carnal joys it combats. Always, when I contemplate an uplifter at his hopeless business, I recall a scene in an old-time burlesque show, witnessed for hire in my days as a dramatic critic. A chorus girl executed a fall upon the stage, and Rudolf Krausmeier, the Swiss comedian, rushed to her aid. As he stooped painfully to succor her, Irving Rabinowitz, the Zionist comedian, fetched him a fearful clout across the cofferdam with a slapstick. So the uplifter, the soul saver, the Americanizer, striving to make the Republic fit for YMCA secretaries, he is the eternal American, ever moved by the best of intentions, ever running a la Krausmeier to the rescue of virtue, and ever getting his pantaloons fanned by the devil. I am naturally sinful, and such spectacles caress me. If the slapstick were a sash weight, the show would be cruel, and I'd probably complain to the polizei. As it is, I know that the uplifter is not really hurt, but simply shocked. The blow, in fact, does him good, for it helps get him into heaven, as exegetes prove from Matthew 5:11. Heureux serez-vous lorsqu'on vous attrangera, qu'on vous persécutera, and so on. As for me, it makes me a more contented man, and hence a better citizen. One man prefers the Republic because it pays better wages than Bulgaria. Another because it has laws to keep him sober and his daughter chaste. Another because the Woolworth Building is higher than the Cathedral at Chartres. Another because, living here, he can read the New York Evening Journal. Another because there is a warrant out for him somewhere else. Me? I like it because it amuses me to my taste. I never get tired of the show. It is worth every cent it costs. That cost, it seems to me, is very moderate. Taxes in the United States are not actually high. I figure, for example, that my private share of the expense of maintaining the Honorable Mr. Harding in the White House this year will work out to less than 80 cents. Try to think of better sport for the money. In New York, it has been estimated that it costs $8 to get comfortably tight, and $17.50 on an average to pinch a girl's arm. The United States Senate will cost me perhaps $11 for the year, but against that expense set the subscription price of the Congressional Record, about $15, which, as a journalist, I receive for nothing. For $4 less than nothing, I am thus entertained as Solomon never was by his hooch dancers. Colonel George Brinton McClellan Harvey costs me but 25 cents a year. I get Nicholas Murray Butler free. Finally, there is young Teddy Roosevelt, the naval expert. Teddy costs me, as I work it out, about 11 cents a year, or less than a cent a month. More, he entertains me doubly for the money, first as a naval expert, and secondly as a walking attentat upon democracy, a devastating proof that there is nothing, after all, in that superstition. We Americans subscribe to the doctrine of human equality, and the Rooseveltee reduce it to an absurdity as brilliantly as the sons of Weitbach. Where is your equal opportunity now? Here in this Eden of clowns, with the highest rewards of clowning theoretically open to every poor boy, here in the very citadel of democracy, we found and cherish a clown dynasty. This has been Laura's Voice. Production copyright 2017. Thanks for listening.